So I'm going to begin this with a real life story that some of you have heard. I may go into a little more detail. Some of you have not. But I'm going to talk to you about a man named Charlie. Charlie attended our church back in the 1980s up north. We went to a little Baptist church that had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And a lot of the people were filled with the Holy Spirit in this little Baptist church. And I think we would have all of 40, 50 people. If we had 50, it was a good Sunday morning. And Charlie started attending our church. Didn't know a lot about Charlie, except he you could tell he was kind of battered in life. And we were glad he was coming. We didn't know much about him. And so at the time, my pastor, Alan Moody, asked if I would take some of the single young men that were young adults, college age, and like that, and start mentoring them, discipling them. And so I had a couple of them. One was named Dave and one was named Charlie. Dave had just come to the Lord. Charlie's status, I just wasn't sure where he was at with the Lord, but it was apparent that Charlie had some kind of strange issue going on with himself, because he would tell me some odd things, compulsions that he would be compelled to do. I'm not going to mention some. They're not, I can't bring them up in a church setting. But then he began to tell me something really strange, and he said, "You know, Kevin, my spine burns, and then it talks to me." And although, and you've heard the last few weeks, I've talked about the journey I was taking with deliverance, I was still pretty young in that. This was after the time that I had come up against a strong demon with a man in Lafayette and just took off running from him. You know that story. So I had cooled off in the area of deliverance. I decided tactfully and quietly that was not going to be my ministry. You know, I decided I'd back off. I needed to get stronger. I needed to know more about it. I wasn't going to play with it and look for demons under every rock. But now here's Charlie telling us in these mentoring discipleship things that his spine's burning and it's talking to him. And I thought, that don't sound good. I can't see in the Bible where the Holy Spirit talked through people that way, you know. And so I made a note of it, but I sat on it. I thought I knew what it was, but I thought another time, another setting, I watched Bud Moody cast a demon out of a young girl, no problem. Maybe I'll go to him with this issue, and maybe we'll pray and see what the Lord's going to do in that. Well, one particular evening at my house, 328 West Bow Street, up there in Thorntown, I had Dave and Charlie in my house, and we had had our little Bible study. We were talking about things pertaining to single people, and it got later and later into the night, and Dave and Charlie didn't want to go home, and they were sitting on the floor, and Dave, being a very brand new Christian, was trying to find things in the Word to discuss with Charlie, and I got tired. You ever get that way? You're torn because you know people need ministry, but then there's the practicalities. You got to get up at 5 a.m. to go to work and all this kind of thing. And I didn't want to quench the spirit, so I thought I would just kind of give a gentle hint. So I just got up on the couch and laid on the couch like I was taking a nap. I said, "You guys keep talking." Well, they didn't get the hint. And so I was just listening to Dave, and I was kind of rejoicing that Dave was coming along as a young Christian. And then all of a sudden, something happened to me. And I really thought I was starting to dream. I thought I was going into a dream and falling asleep, but I could hear Dave talking to Charlie. I was in a room, and I remember, I don't think these walls are near as yellow, but I was in a room with yellow walls. And I don't, to this day, I have no clue. And some of you that have studied colors and kingdom stuff might be able to tell me, but I was in a room and all the walls were yellow. And I thought, am I dreaming this? Because I could hear them talk. And suddenly in front of me, probably about as far as Emily is sitting from me, I saw an old man. Very clearly an old man, a very thin man. He looked like he was kind of wasting away, kind of, you know, just pining away. And I thought, oh, that poor fella. And I truly thought I was going into a dream. And all of a sudden, this old man in my dream vision and dreams and visions are so closely connected. That's another study for another time. But all of a sudden, this old man looked right at me, and his eyes changed and they became black like hell itself, almost fire in them. And I began to realize I was not looking at an old man. And then he did something really strange that I did not expect. He stuck his tongue out at me. And I mean, he stuck his tongue out at me. And it went way out of his mouth. He had Gene Simmons from Kiss beat three times over. I mean, his tongue went way out of his mouth. I remember some of you people in that era know that he used to always do that. And I noticed on his tongue, and it was almost like a snake or a serpent, it looked rotten. It had rotten places all over it, like a piece of meat just rotting away. And at that point in time, there was a spirit of a type of a fear. It was not a godly fear. And I realized at that moment, I was literally seeing a demon. And it was not a dream. It was a vision. And meanwhile, Dave is sitting there talking to Charlie, and I had no idea why I was seeing this ugly thing. Why it began to pose itself as an elderly man and then turn into, just transform, the eyes transform and everything. So while Dave is sitting on the floor, and so was Charlie, and he's trying to read scriptures, I suddenly bolt up in the couch, and I blurted out, "Ooh!" And Dave thinks I'm saying "ooh" to a scripture he read. And he says, "What do you mean, ooh?" And I said, "Man, I just saw something." And I began to describe what I had just seen. And as I was describing what I just seen, all of a sudden, Charlie's countenance changed. All of a sudden, his eyes changed. And they began to take on the same appearance of that old man and the demon in the form of an old man that I just saw. I did not realize that God, through the gift of discernment of spirits, and we're going to talk about that, and that was kind of neat how Doug brought that up, was literally showing me what was in Charlie, and I didn't put it together. Sometimes I'm a bit slow. But as I described that ugly thing, that demon in Charlie knew it was spotted. How many of you know when the Holy Ghost puts the light on a demon, it has nowhere to go but manifest? It can't. They try to hide. They try to mask. And they try to deceive. Well, that demon knew. Some of you gun enthusiasts, you know there's types of guns where you zone in and it locks in on something. Well, the Holy Ghost was locking in on this demon. And I didn't know it. I was just describing what he showed me in a vision. Not only did Charlie's eyes change, he began to shake and he began to convulse and his voice changed. It started real low and it got higher and higher and shriller. He was saying, "No, no, no," and it got real high and I'm not even going to try to mimic it. But I was obviously in the middle of a full-blown manifestation again. And I had another fellow with me that had just newborn Christian, never saw it. And I was in this situation. I couldn't call on Bud Moody. I couldn't find somebody. And I was really trying to avoid these situations at this point, right? But I can tell you, if God does something like that, he's going to give you the grace to deal with it. Well, Charlie was starting to manifest in all kinds of bizarre ways. Voice was changing, his eyes completely changed. And what does Dave do? He does the crab crawl across the floor. What do we do? What do we do? And I'm thinking, yeah, what do we do? You know, because we're having this guy manifest on the floor, and I begin to realize what I saw was what was in him, that burning spine that talked to him thing. It caused him to do some pretty unusually oddball things. So I said, you know what? We need the strength of Jesus right now. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's quote scripture back and forth to one another for a little while. Now that may sound a little strange, but I know God directed me. I look back on the wisdom of that, because what is the sword of the Spirit, church? And a sword does what? It's a weapon against your enemy. If you're being attacked by a wild animal and you have a sword and you drive it into that animal a few times, it's been wounded, weak, and it could even die. So literally, the Holy Spirit was having us quote scripture back and forth to break down that demon's power and to also build faith in us because we needed it to cast it out. And when we were quoting scriptures, it drove the demon crazy. So I want you to make note of this. When you get in a situation where you come up against a spirit or even a person, get out of your own human arguments with that person and start saying, "It is written. It is written. It is written." Did not Jesus do that to Lucifer? Every time, "It is written." And even when Lucifer tried to whip a scripture out on Jesus, he said, "It is written," to show that he was misusing the scripture. So your weapon is the Word of God. We did the right thing. We began to quote the Word. And this demon went completely berserk in Charlie. It hated to hear it, but it was also declawing, weakening its power. And we needed that faith because, yes, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. All of a sudden, this demon gets desperate. Because, you know, demons, when they get in people, their main goal is to do just what their master Lucifer does. To rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And kill's a very powerful word. Destroy's a very powerful word. That thing inside of Charlie was destroying his life. Was taking him down, and ultimately, if it had its total way and God's grace wasn't present, would have killed Charlie eventually. So in desperation, this demon does something really bizarre in Charlie that we were not prepared for. You know, I'm still on the couch, and Dave's still over here on the floor, and Charlie's over here. All of a sudden, Charlie lurches forward. And I didn't know a human body could do this without killing somebody, but his head went completely under his chest, forward. And I thought, it's going to break his neck. Now, one time there was this video of Andy wrestling, and something similar to that happened. I thought Andy was going to, that was a horrible thing to watch. Do you remember that? That one wrestling match? But this was something, Andy, way beyond that. His head went completely, and I thought, this demon's trying to break his neck. So I panicked. I didn't jump down there. Because I'd learned from this other gal trying to pull her hands off, that wasn't going to work. But I said in the most girlish, sorry ladies, most girlish, panicky voice you ever heard, "Come out in the name of Jesus!" That's what it sounded like. Right? But guess what happened? It came out, and it came out just like that. It wasn't the tone of my voice. And the devil could have said, "Oh, he's scared." But there was something where Jesus stepped into that living room. He stepped in and he gave grace at the time of need. And he took a hold of that demon and manhandled that thing and pulled it right out of Charlie. So it was so neat. Because before I ran, you know, in sheer terror, just like what the prophet ran from Jezebel that one time. God came in and gave victory. It's not how loud you yell. It's not how you sound. It's the authority and the trust in the name of Jesus that makes a demon know you have that authority. Now, what happened to Charlie? He went limp and went out, you know, just went out on the floor like he was passed out. 5 minutes passed, 10 minutes passed, 15, 20. Charlie was like that close to an hour. And then I began to get concerned. You know, I'm taking his pulse. I'm doing all this stuff. He seemed to be fine. He didn't turn purple up here. His neck didn't break, you know, and he was that way a long time. But the Lord was ministering and pouring that healing oil into him. And Charlie came out of it, and he was a changed man, later got married and had kids. So you see, I didn't have to go through all these things and try to talk to Charlie. Talk to me. I got to figure out what this demon's name. I got to go through all this stuff. I didn't have time. But there was one name I knew, and it's the only name I needed to know, and that was Jesus' name. And I knew it was a perverted type spirit, and I just told it directly, because I saw it manifesting, to come out in the name of Jesus. I used to not make fun of him, but I always thought he was the strangest person on TV, Ernest Angley. And Ernest Angley would cast out demons effectively. He really would. Now, he came, I think, from the hills of Kentucky. Frank's in the other room, so I hope I forgot. We got Randy here. But he sounded funny. But Ernest Angley knew his authority. And when he would cast a demon out, he'd go, "Come out, come out." You know how you do that? And I thought that was the oddest thing. But he knew his authority, and demons would come out for that man. I think he's still around. I don't know whether he's no longer, he's with Jesus now. But man, you come to realize that the name you need to know the most is Jesus' name and his authority, and he's given it to you, and he's put the devil under your feet, and he says, nothing by any means shall hurt you. So in that, I am still learning from that experience, and I'm not going to be long today. I'm going to talk about one simple thing that you need to operate with in deliverance, and it is called the gift of discernment of spirits. Go to 1 Corinthians 12:10. This is one of the very few scriptures we're going to be in today because God has spoken through the whole service. And I'm not going to go too far and wear you out this morning. But if you deal with demons, and if God could open up your spiritual eyes, you're going to see angelic presence around. That's an interesting CD you give me. You know what I'm listening to. And there's also the fallen angels, because they've been cast to this earth for their final judgment here. And they're demons, fallen angels, creatures. So if you're going to deal in the area of deliverance, and by all means, I'm not an expert. Everything I've been teaching you is through what I have seen, what I know in God's word, and what I have seen through the years, mostly with other people. But it says in 1 Corinthians 12:10, when Paul's talking about the various gifts that God distributes as he chooses to believers, he says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. So there is a gift that enables you to discern and know when a spirit is present, whether it be of God or whether it be in rebellion, a fallen spirit, a demon or an angel. Okay? So if you don't operate in that, and some of you, how many of you have been in the military? You've been out even on a war zone. You've been, I know Donnie has. What would it be like if you went into a dark room and the enemy was in there and you had no clue where he was? What kind of weapons he had, what anything about him. But you go in there with your gun and you're trying to find the enemy in the dark and you just start shooting because you don't know where he's at. And then you might not even be sure, maybe he's not still in this room, maybe he's behind me. How effective are you going to be? I get a bit concerned in the modern church world today, and God bless the churches that still know that this is a ministry in the church and they attempt to cast out demons. But I think we have made it too much. We have mixed a lot of man's psychology in this thing called deliverance. I remember a couple down in Evansville, and they embarked to be in deliverance, and what they did is they'd take a pad of paper and they'd put you in a room and you'd sit there, and when they were trying to figure out what spirits were in a person, they'd ask them 20 questions, sometimes 30, close your eyes, go back into your child, all this stuff, because they're trying to figure out, is a demon there? What kind is it? What's its exact name? They're trying to do all this stuff, and they're asking the person. Now, let me ask you a question. If a demon possessed somebody, and you're going through natural means like that to try to figure it out, is that demon going to tell you the truth? Is it even going to show up? Is it going to pretend to be something else? The gift of discernment of spirits cuts to the chase. It literally shows you already. You don't have to go through all this psychobabble. I didn't have to ask Charlie 20 questions. He gave me a vision and showed me very plainly when I described that demon. There it is. There it is. And it was spotted, and it knew its moments were numbered inside of Charlie. But if you go other ways, and I'll give you an example. Discernment of spirits, there was this woman following Paul around, and she was making a living by soothsaying, but yet she was speaking truth. She was following Paul and saying over and over again, these men are the servants of the Most High God. These men are the servants of the Most. Now that's truth, isn't it? And by your natural means, you're saying, well, demon wouldn't say that, would it? Oh yeah, it would. Paul knew that there was a demon in that woman. because he had discernment of spirits. And he didn't turn around and say, do you want this out? Can you give me permission? No. He cast it out of her. It had to obey the name of Jesus. And when she was set free, she could no longer soothsay and get into all those familiar spirits. And they lost their living from it. And they were very mad. And of course, Paul and them got punished for it. But it is so important, church, that that gift be present. Discernment of spirits. I can't say it enough because God shows you already. You ever walked in a place, a store or something, and you sent something evil in there? You didn't have to go around talking to people. It was there. Right? The other side, the dark side, the dark kingdom, can also sense when people of God walk in a room. Man, when I was getting money out of payphones, I had to go into this thing that the people in Chesterfield, Indiana, call it the spook camp. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's a spiritualist camp up there. And you drive in this place, and there's a little house where they read tea leaves. And you go to the next one, and they'll give you a tarot card reading. It's just infested with demons all over. It's all this stuff that is very much condemned in the Bible. But I used to have to go in there and work on their payphones. And so I thought, there's got to be a way I can witness in this place. So I armed myself with a bunch of tracts, and I hid them in my back pocket, and I'd go in these places, and I'd fill up their phone books. They got a hotel there, and I'd be sticking tracts everywhere. And then I walked into this bookstore and had all these curious arts and stuff, and I wandered around thinking, And I was praying very quietly in the spirit in the back of the store, and this woman says, you, young man, come over here. Now, she didn't hear me. There is something about you I don't like. I'm very uncomfortable, and you leave this store. She made me leave the store. I didn't say a word. And I rejoiced because those spirits clashed. So the enemy gives the other side, they know, when the Spirit of God is present. When Jesus showed up, the legion automatically, that old searchlight was put right on those demons, and they were begging him to put them into pigs. Are you going to torment us before your time? But you with Jesus in you, with that gift present and that searchlight, when you call something out, please don't ask all these questions to people. You didn't see that pattern in the Bible. The demons were there, and often the anointing was so strong they would just manifest. Manifestations are not necessarily bad. You know what I mean by that? Because there are people that need to see that obviously this person has a problem. Obviously there's something supernatural in that person making their skin turn gray. Now you don't let it go on forever, but when they see that and you command the spirit out in Jesus' name, now they see the Spirit of God come in and they see that he's still alive. So I don't mind sometimes they happened all through the book of Acts. And they demonstrated God's power. Now, if it goes on and on and on and it starts glorifying the devil, then you have to make the thing shut up and you got to deal with it, right? But just know this. You have to know where your enemy is. And you're not going to find out through psychology. I took some of that at Butler. I did some of that stuff. And boy, some of that was weird. Even the psychologists didn't agree with each other. And it's not all bad, but boy, it's mixed up. It's like the kingdom of Babel, as far as I'm concerned. You're not going to find out by asking questions. You're not going to find out by, and I want to caution some of you, you've been very diligent to read up on that kingdom. Don't get too infatuated with the demonic kingdom. Because then it becomes unhealthy. When you start studying them more than you're looking at Jesus, you've got a problem. But be careful, too, about certain manifestations. Like somebody feels like they're choking. I remember talking about that. We had a couple in here where that happened once, and Marvin cast a demon out of them. So somebody automatically said, oh, Kevin, that's Python. How do you know it's Python? You don't think another demon can give you that same manifestation and pretend to be Python, and you're trying to address something that's... That can happen. Think of that. So just because there's characteristics doesn't mean that necessarily who is the liar and the father of every lie. Who tries to transform himself as an angel of light? By natural means, you can't just observe like a doctor does a patient and write these things down and always figure that out. or you will be taken for a ride. God has put within us a great gift from the Holy Ghost called discernment of spirits. And this is what we need to operate more than a lot of the strange things floating around in churches today, because they're not that effective. I mean, there are some oddball things. But when you go the Bible way, when you go what the Word says and you look at that and you see how they operated and you know that there's a great, powerful gift called discernment of spirits put in you, you can walk in a room and know right away what's in that person, the type of demon it is, and you can deal with it. And often it'll manifest because it knows it's been spotted. That's the best way. Now, I don't know everything there is to know about it, but I do have the Word, and I had that experience, and it made things so easy, and the demon even came out in a girly, scared voice because it had been spotted, right? Hebrews, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And if you encounter a demon, you should at least have the word and start quoting it at that thing and beating it down with the power of the sword of the spirit, because it knows. And that word will dismantle the devil and give you faith and strength to deal with it if you don't know what else to do. That's what I learned with my beloved brother, Charlie. And he's my brother. He's a brother in the Lord now. So, this is where I'm going to stop today. It's a very simple, short message from an experience. But how many of you have the desire, and it's not a bad one, not like me where I got just so ingrained in everything was demons everywhere, but how many of you have the desire that you would like God to use you in casting out devils and you're not afraid? All right. I would like for those that raise their hand to come forward. I don't want to force this issue, but all I want to do is pray over you that that gift of discernment of spirits would be in you fully and that you'd operate powerfully in it, because I want this church to be a church that ministers deliverance, and I pray to God someday we have a deliverance team in here that knows what they're doing and the devil don't even dare walk in here. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask, where did Chet go? Is he still in here? Chet, I want you to help me in this prayer. Marvin, I want you to help me. We just want to ask, just lay hands on people, not to be complicated. Ask God to gift him with discernment of spirits in a powerful way, and we're just going to leave it up to God, and that's how we will end today. If you have any other prayer needs when we're done praying, we'll be dismissing, but you can stay here, and we'll pray for whatever those needs are, okay? Amen.